Well, welcome to Addicted to Faith, the Last Storyteller podcast. Today, my guest is Ruta Lebeau. She's coming to us from out of the Pacific Northwest. Ruta is a wife and a mom, and she's also an author. And she wrote the book, Our Uncle's Promise. And well, we're here to sell some books. Good day, Ruta. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. And it's a really beautiful Sunday here in Oregon, and I'm here.
All right. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about who Ruta Lebeau is and how she came about to want to write a book about, well, about her childhood.
Okay. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area in the 70s and 80s. Very good generation. I'm Generation X. I grew up with three sisters, and I also have two stepsisters and two half-sisters. So there's a lot of us. But the core sisters I have that I grew up with was my three full-blooded sisters, same mother, same father. Our mother died when I was six. My older sister was 8 and a half. My younger sister was 2 and a half, and the youngest was barely 2 weeks. What had happened is she died from a hemorrhage in her head. They had given her too much blood thinner because she just had a baby and she was having complications. She had a C-section, and unfortunately she passed away due to that hemorrhage in her head. So my mother was 29. And at the time, that was 1973. At the time, my father worked for the Navy as a civilian worker, and regardless if our mother had passed away or not, they transferred him to Long Beach because they closed the San Francisco Naval Yard. And so they transferred to Long Beach. They gave him a choice, either be transferred or be laid off. And he chose to be transferred, and I do not blame him. At the time, it was 1973. He was a dark brown man with a basic education. Yes, he was in the U.S. Marines, and he was a veteran. But, you know, having a good job with a good salary, with good benefits, was hard to get. And so he kept his job and he was transferred, and he left us with our maternal grandparents, my grandmother Vera, our grandfather Pop, and our uncle Reuben. And they raised us. You know, losing your mother so young, it does affect you. And you grow up, I think all children who lose a parent young, you grow up fast, because you don't want to put too much burden on the parent that's left or the people who are taking care of you. And me and my sisters, looking back, all kids were good. I would say most kids in the 70s and 80s were good kids, because you didn't speak unless you were spoken to. Yeah, we got up in some mischief when we, you know, during the summer when you were on your bikes and you went to the creek or you went to the neighborhood store, but nothing really bad. But I think me and my sisters, we tried to be even better children than normal because we didn't want to put too much pressure on our grandparents. So we did our chores like we were told. We got good grades. We did good in school. We never fought with other children unless they started it. Remember, this is a generation that you didn't start it, you finished it. So we never started a fight, but we were told you better finish it. So we were taught to stand up for yourself, and you stand up for your sisters and the people who were right, because there are bullies back then, and sometimes they were really bad. So anyway, they raised us, and I went to college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and then I finally settled in Oregon, where I married with one human kid and five cats. How do I end up with five cats? You take in cats that are dropped off and left, and you feed them, and they come into your home, and you love them. And that's how you end up with five cats. So, but otherwise than that, and I wrote the book because I wanted my uncle and my grandparents' story to be out there, because being raised by a gay uncle and two gay uncles later on was unheard of in the 1970s. If it was happening, it was kept very quiet. Yeah, so I felt their story, what needed to be said, because the story is about loss. Don't get me wrong, it is about loss, but our grandparents and our uncles, my Uncle Reuben, my Uncle Dana, they taught us that yes, if you have lost grief, mourn, do what you need to do to keep moving on. And you in life, you got to learn to smile again, you got to learn to laugh again, you got to learn to love again, because life doesn't stop for anybody, no matter how big the loss is. So in the book, it's about our adventures and how we slowly had to learn to live without our mother and just grow up and be good adults and happy adults. And that's what they did. My sisters in the book, Oleana and Sina, live within an hour of me. We see each other quite often. We talk all the time, and we're still very good friends. I grew up, so even though when I was a child, Sina was the bossy, to me, mean older sister, she grew up to be a good friend. And
So
you see,
you were the middle child, is that correct?
yes, I was the second. Sina's the oldest than me, and I am the typical second child that I was kind of wild. I was kind of the one that, if anybody picked on my, sisters, I would get into it. But I had a bully problem myself in the book, and Sina's the one who stood up for me. And Sina's short. Back then, even to this day, Sina's the shortest of them all, but she is, whoo. That's why we call her Rabbit Squirrel, because she's kind of crazy. But
Yeah,
she.
a good big sister to have around, right?
Oh yeah,
Yeah, but
she didn't let anybody mess with us. She was a wonderful older sister, and I didn't know until we got older, when I was actually writing the book, that she was my hero in my life. I really didn't know until I wrote it, and then I was reading through the stories, and I realized even though I was somewhat resentful of her bossiness, I also admired her. And when she left because she got married at the end of my book, I just missed her so much. It just shows you that, in your life, you might have someone in your life who gets on your nerves, probably a sibling or a cousin or an uncle or an aunt or whatever have you, or even a best friend who just, expects you to be better than, to always better be better than yourself, to always keep striving. And that's what my sister always wanted for us, not to settle. And she did these little things that would just get on my nerves, like, oh, you can't get an A in that class. Oh, you want to bet? I'll get an A in that class. So she did little things to kind of challenge me. And I didn't know she was kind of doing it on purpose, because she wanted me to get good grades and move on with life. And when she was gone, it was like this huge hole that, couldn't be filled until I moved up to Oregon and I started seeing her physically more often besides just once a year. So,
You know,
and now that I look, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say one of the great things that when as a writer and you get to sit down and you take on a challenge like this, our uncle's promise, and we'll talk more about the challenging part of that in just a second, but is to be able to look back 30 or 40 years back to our childhood, and we see things through different eyes now because we've gained some wisdom and gained some maturity, and I think about it how many times I've looked back and thought, man, my mom or my dad was actually right. When back in 1970 or 1969, I thought they were aliens from a different world. And now, the older we get, and I think that's maybe what has happened with your relationship with your siblings as you look back on it now, and you see all the good stuff that was there, but not so easy to see when we're growing up, especially at that young age, and with the challenges that you were facing so young. Your book, Our Uncle's Promise, is a memoir, a family memoir, and it is in the, I guess, now I don't want to say written for, because it's written for everybody, but it's listed as LGBTQIA family memoir. And it is, you touched on it a moment ago, that this was back in the 1970s. It begins in the 1970s and then it goes forward. But during a time when two things were radically different than what they are now. First one, of course, was the gay community. There was a community back in 1970, just nobody knew about it. And
that's right.
And then the other portion that you mentioned, and you and I talked about this before, was your dad was a Marine, and but he was also he looked different than other people that he worked with, and he looked different.
Yes.
He looked different than the woman that he married. And back in 1970, that would have brought on its own discriminations and prejudices. And there you are as a little girl, you're growing up around this. All these things that are going, the loss of your mom, your dad having to leave. And like you said, you carry no animosity or regrets for his decision, because it was one that even at that young age, you understood had to be made. And then now you're with your grandparents. We're going to introduce Uncle Reuben. Now, Uncle Reuben was your mom's brother. Is that right?
That is correct.
And Uncle Reuben, when you first, you were about, how old were you when you moved in with grandma and grandpa?
I just had turned six.
Right.
I turned six June 17th of 1973. Our mother died July 9th of 1973, and we moved in with our grandparents like right before the funeral.
Right.
So
and Reuben was already there.
Yes, Reuben had bought, this is the decade where people could buy a home based on one income. So my uncle had a really good job. He worked for the U.S. Mint, and he had bought a house to share with himself and his parents. It was a three-bedroom, one-bath tract house that was really cute, had a really big backyard. Normal front yard and a, you know, two-car garage, and it was just a cute little house that he had bought for his parents, and we had family Sunday dinners. So we already knew our grandparents because we saw them every weekend. Sometimes we saw them Saturday and Sunday, but a lot of times we spent the whole Sunday with our grandparents because our mother would go down to take us to our grandparents' house, and she would help cook and clean and for the family dinner that night on Sunday. And she was very close to her mother and her brother and her grandfather and her father, who was her stepfather at the time. And they just loved each other, and they were a very close-knit family, and we were just brought into the fold, and we were just loved on by our mother's family because they were very close back then. And you know, various relatives would come for Sunday family dinner, because my grandmother was the generation where they cooked a lot. So they cooked a lot on Sunday, so all kinds of relatives could come and feel welcome, and you could bring friends from the block. You know, my cousins who were older, as time went on, my grandmother encouraged them to bring their boyfriends and their friends so they could, you know, so they could join in. The family dinner was just a wonderful, chaotic, loud, people laughing, you know, people sharing, and it was just something that people did, I think, in the 70s. I know our family did, and I knew other friends whose families did Sunday dinners too. So it was just something that people did. And it was wonderful. So when my mother died, it was a huge hit to the family because she was always there. She was always cooking and cleaning and spending time with her nieces and spending time with her cousins, and just because in our family, you know, you want to spend time with each other because that's the day you had to catch up for the week, you know, and catch up with how life is going. And when she was gone, it was a huge hole in our family. I think, in a way, somewhat recovered, but kind of didn't. It
Yeah.
was a lot quieter after, because that's what I was told, that it was a lot quieter after my mother passed.
And it was what you described would, especially back in the 1970s, would have been called, well, a normal family with
Yep.
Sunday dinners and gatherings and all those wonderful things. Except there was something not normal about this. And your story goes into talking about the heartbreak. It's laced with wonderful sense of humor that you had. I don't think only not only as a child, but that stayed with you. But living with your grandparents and uncle, did you understand at that young age that the lifestyle that he had chosen was different? Did that register at all as a little child that something's different here?
I think I noticed when I was around, I would say about really young, 8 or 9. We grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. So, you, as children, we saw the word gay around town all the time, whether it was graffiti or just spoken, sometimes quietly. And when I was like 9 or 10, I realized that my uncle did not date women. I never asked him why, because, sometimes he would point out, women say, oh, she has beautiful hair, or she has a beautiful dress, or, a beautiful purse. He would point out beautiful things of, even men, say, oh, those are nice shoes, or, but I noticed that my uncle did not date women. And then I just, I started watching, more closely, and that he had a variety of friends. He had female friends and guy friends, but he also had a friend that wore guy clothes and women clothes, and my uncle never treated him different. Neither did my grandparents. He would come over, and sometimes he'd be wearing, he was a drag queen, and he was a beautiful drag queen. His name was Joe. And my grandparents wouldn't treat him different, regardless of what kind of clothes he wore. And in the book, I kind of out, I tell a story of why was it wrong to think Joe was beautiful. And my uncle says, no, beauty, you can find beauty anywhere. And it did not really hit me that my uncle might have been gay until like I was 9 or 10. And it didn't bother me, because all I knew is if he was gay, he would fall in love with a man. And his love for his husband, it doesn't affect me. As long as his husband is nice to me and nice to my sisters, that's all I cared about. When you're a child, all you care about is if that aunt or uncle is nice to you. And when he did come out to us, which is a big thing for everybody, and in those days, it was a big thing. Because my uncle knew quite a bit of people who were disowned by their families, and his family already knew. I don't know how my grandparents knew, but they knew. And they loved my Uncle Reuben regardless, and Uncle Dana fell in love with the family, and that was even a plus, because his partner came around for Sunday dinners. He was welcomed in. All the picnics and barbecues, and everyone just treated him like he was just another uncle in the bunch, because there was kind of quite a few uncles, so, and aunts. So there was never any disrespect in our family, which is strange. People might think, oh, that's not true. There was a few people in our family who told my Uncle Reuben directly that they did not care for his choices. And those were people of the family that didn't come around a lot. I don't think my grandmother did, never told them not to come. But the way she was everybody was welcome. You don't, if somebody's kind and a good person, you don't disparage them. My grandmother didn't believe in that. She felt that everyone had the right to be treated with respect, because she used to tell us all the time, everyone deserves common respect and common courtesy, regardless of whether you agree with who they are or what they do in their life. So we were taught that.
your grandparents and your uncles, they were years ahead of their time and their thought. There was I remember back in those days, there was a lot of fear, first of all, because people didn't understand what it was that, and it was different, and people are always a little afraid about being things different, and they always thought it would happen to someone else. And then they would find out, someone would find out that a family member was gay, and they didn't know what to do with that, except that when there was a family gathering or they were going out somewhere, the person who was gay was told, "Don't be gay while we're there. Don't be gay while we're here. Act normal." That was the word that was used. They were told to act normal. What you do on your own time is your own time, but to act normal. And your grandparents, having a son who back in the 1970s had come out to them, he hadn't come out completely, but he had come out to them. And they took that as this is who their son is. It didn't change their feelings for them. And then to bring these little girls into that household, knowing also, and I don't know, we don't, you and I have never talked a lot about your grandparents. I can tell what kind of people they were, but they would have had to known that bringing little girls into this environment that could be dangerous for them. Not, let me clarify that, not a danger from your uncle, but a danger from people on the outside looking in and saying, these little girls are living with someone who's gay. And the parts of your book where Reuben is the focus of, there's no doubt that the loss of his sister was great, one that he carried for, it appears, a long time. He was crushed by that. And were they growing up, were they real close?
They were very close growing up, and in fact, my Uncle Reuben moved to California before his parents, and he stayed with my father and my mother, and they were very close. And my uncle told me later in life that he came out to his sister, my mother, first, and she basically said, "I don't care, as long as you are happy and they love you and you love them, what does it matter?"
That flow of understanding and love runs through that entire family. And yet when you read the story, the reader's going to see these challenges that were in there, the heartbreak that was in there. There's a quote from the book that I absolutely love, and your grandma had said that sometimes God allowed things to happen to test your patience. It wasn't to test your faith or to test your love. It was to test your patience. And for a and she was talking to a child then, but to and it's a message for all of us now from your grandma that it's the patience that sometimes comes before all the other stuff. The patience that comes before understanding and the patience that comes before accepting. And I would have liked to have known your grandma, I think. She's a wise, wise woman. Wise woman.
She was a whip, what you would call a whippersnapper. She married a Mexican American man whose family was in New Mexico for generations. She got married in the 40s. And there was a few members of her family who didn't accept it, and those were the members who didn't accept Reuben either. But she told me that in this life, you have to be happy. As long as as you're in love and that person's in love and you're two adults, what does it matter? Well, why do you care if someone else's opinion is against you? You're not, you're not, you, God did not create you to please everybody else. And that, as a child, I didn't understand because I hadn't hit the period of my life where people's opinions, they try to enforce it on you. But that was one of her big opinions, that people try to change your mind or try to sway you to what they think is right. And she says, God didn't create you to do that. He created you to have your own life, your own journey, and sometimes your own journey will help somebody else who might bump into the same problems and teach them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just be yourself, move on with life, and if they, if they come back and you're Then they come back. If they don't, they weren't meant to be in your life.
And Uncle Reuben, now he was, or he became, I guess over time, he became a parental figure in your in that new family,
Yes,
right?
after our grandmother died. And our grandmother's death was kind of a surprise because my grandmother, she had a few health issues and she always got better. And then all of a sudden, she didn't. And here my uncles were facing what should they do? Because my grandfather was still there, but he was overwhelmed. He had, four girls, and he knew that my uncle would take care of the mortgage and whatever bills that he couldn't cover, or and our Social Security benefit wouldn't cover. But it was more than that, So my uncles talked with my grandfather, and they decided that the uncle should move back into Reuben's house because my uncle Reuben still owned the house. He still paid the mortgage. So his parents wouldn't have that burden. And he and then Dana and my grandfather, they raised us. And they didn't change anything. They still wanted us to have the values that our grandma had and to believe in family and to be kind and be loving towards each other. And and the fact that they showed us love all the time. And I was the kid who didn't like to be hugged too much because it got on my nerves. And but they just loved on us. And in the book, it just shows that it doesn't matter, if you're being raised by your grandparents, your uncles, whoever, as long as they love the child and put the child first, that's the best parenting you could have
Yeah, and
is.
you write about Reuben taking you dress shopping, right?
Oh
You
yeah.
sister dress shopping, and it appears that he had a bit of a sense of humor himself at times. And
Yeah, because at first when our mother died, we didn't want to go school shopping, and where we went to school, we had to wear dresses. And he took us shopping, and he would try to make us giggle and laugh. So we would, pick out the dresses we needed for our school year, and still have a good time. And even though he was grieving, because this he lost his best friend, because he used to say it till my whole life. He said, "Oh, I lost my sister, my best friend," and he always put our grief first. That was a huge thing for us.
yeah, I got one final question for you, Ruta. Your story is wonderful. And I'm going to put up the links in the show notes so that people can go out and buy Our Uncle's Promise. Your uncle and your grandparents, but your uncle, as the book is called Our Uncle's Promise, right? There was a lot of people that helped raise you, but your uncle Reuben helped raise you, and he was gay back in the 1970s. A gay man raising some children. These were all girls in this case. But here you had a man whose lifestyle was different. He spent time with you. He nurtured you. He didn't make you gay, right?
No, and the thing is, when we say lifestyle, it was his choice in partners. I believed when I was younger that being gay was a choice. But my Uncle Reuben used to tell us all the time that if people had a choice, I think most people would pick the easier route of being straight. He says, "I didn't pick being gay. I wouldn't want all the problems I have." But he says, "I am gay." And his only difference in lifestyle was he fell in love with a man that was his life partner. And back then, they had hoped that one day gay marriage would happen, and it did happen, but it didn't happen in their lifetime. But a man raising four girls, he loved us like his own children. And the only difference was he had a husband instead of a wife. And that husband loved us just as much as an aunt would. And Uncle Dana, when he moved in to the family home with Uncle Reuben, they cooked and cleaned, and they still, took us school shopping, and they helped us with our homework. And believe it or not, Uncle Dana was better at math than Uncle Reuben. So it was, they saved us. Because our mother passed, and then our grandmother passed, and most people are like, oh my God, I don't want to read a book where I'm just crying through the whole thing. No, they showed us so much love that we could learn how to smile again, learn how to laugh again. And they encouraged me to go to college. They encouraged all of us to do the best you can in everything you do and to be good people.
In other words, they were
And,
good parents. You and your family and your uncle and your grandparents, your mom, your dad, all of those were so far ahead of people that if I can't help but to feel rooted that if you'd written this book 35 years ago of the impact that it would have had on so many people today. I want to thank you for being here today. Like I said, we'll put to our uncle's promise. I know it's on Amazon, it's in the bookstores, and you guys can find it there. You got to go out and you got to buy this book. Ruta, thank you so much for your time. This has been wonderful.
thank you, Jim. I appreciate your time, and you have a good day.
Well, that was the author of Our Uncle's Promise, Miss Ruta LeVue. Quite a lady, quite a story to tell. As you can tell, she came from a strong family, a family that believed in family. Take a minute, click on the link down in the show notes over to Amazon and buy her book. You got to read. And if you're going to have to read, you might as well read a really good story. Well, this is Jim Hurdle. This is the Last Storyteller podcast. I'll catch you down the highway.